Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf, and today I have an amazing guest. Libby Britton is here. Thank you for coming.
Oh, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And so first of all, you came from Connecticut, which is like, I'm so honored that you you came to New Jersey. And Libby's, I don't know if it, is it your main profession?
Yeah, shaman animal communication.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
So Libby is not only a shaman, but she is an animal psychic. Which blows my mind. And we just did a session with it was me, Shane, Jada, but then some other animal spirits
some other
came in.
Furry friends came on through.
and even the fairy realm.
Yeah. Yep. Which didn't entirely surprise me because so just like we all have guardian angels, each animal has their own fairy as their little guardian angel for them that looks out for them. Which is really helpful when especially if you're, you know, praying for your animal or someone else's animal, you can also like really speak to their fairy, and then you call in the fairy realm.
Hell yeah.
Do their
well
thing.
I'm into all the stuff. I just showed Libby my mural. I've got a fairy painted on. I have fairy curtains. But do you get a lot of people who are skeptical when you first tell them like I'm a shaman and a pet psychic? Like, what's the typical response?
Well, usually people are a little confused by what a shaman is. Like, my grandma calls me a charmin, which I think is hilarious because I'm like, well, it's close. Like, we clean up a lot of shit. Like, that does tend
hilarious.
To be what shamans, you know, we're good cleaners. The animal communication thing, what's cool is that sort of seems to, people are less afraid of that. Like, because I've worked as a medium as well, which goes hand in hand with shamanism, and that seems to scare people more. But when they hear like, oh, you can talk to my cat, or you can talk to my dog, or my bird, or my fish, then they're more open to it. So,
and interesting.
Then, yeah. So then once that door is open, then they like, oh, that wasn't so bad. That wasn't so scary. And then they can, because I can communicate with an animal that's passed as well. So then that opens the door even further into the spirit world.
And when did you realize that you had not just the gift of communication with animals, but also spiritual gifts and being able to communicate with different spirits and entities? Like, at what age did that start?
So my first, I found a home movie from when I think I'm about four, and my cousin, I guess, had the family camera and was just screwing around, and he goes into the room where I'm sitting there talking to somebody, but you see my parents are outside, and he goes in the room, and it's very quick, but I'm staring at the wall, sitting on my bed, just chattering. So I don't know who I was talking to, but I'm like, well, clearly I was having some conversations very early on. But my first memory really is from when I was seven, and that was with my cat who had passed away.
Okay.
And he came back and jumped on my bed at story time, and my mom did not know that I'd been going out and telling him to come back and visit. And so half of me believed it would happen, and the other half was like, that's never going to happen. So when the bed shook, I was sort of terrified and was like...
So the bed actually shook.
Yeah, the bed actually shook. It was an older bed, so we knew, like, when if a cat jumped on the bed, we knew, and if one jumped off the bed, we knew. And I remember my mom stopped reading, and we turned at the same time and looked, and there was no cat. No cat had been on the bed to jump off, and there was nobody... Nobody had jumped up onto the bed. So she went, that was a little weird. And I'm sure my eyes were bugging out. She's like, well, I'm going to go get a cough drop. And I was sitting there now by myself in the room. And I was like, my cat's name was Weasel. So I was like, Weasel, thanks for visiting. But maybe you should stay in heaven. Because like, my mom had told me about this movie, Pet Cemetery. And like Stephen King.
Oh, the fear was in there.
Yeah. And so I think if I hadn't had that element, because I didn't know what that movie was, but my mom was scared about it and had basically told me, you probably let Weasel, you know, be in heaven. He doesn't need to come back. And so I had, one, not been listening to my mom. And now on top of it, it worked. So now what? It was pretty much where I was at.
And that's so young for that to be happening in a good way. But yeah, as a 4-year-old with a parent who's a little fearful of what's yeah happening, I could understand you being like, oh, maybe I want to close this door for now.
Yeah. Well, the cat was 7, but like 4 was
when. Oh, you were. Okay. So you were 7 when the cat.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But okay, the home movie of that I've recently found. So it goes back farther.
Got it.
My earliest memory is with my cat at age 7. And it's, but as far as like knowing, because I didn't, that was, paranormal things seem to happen a lot. And I was fascinated by ghost stories and fascinated about haunted places. Like on, we'd go on family vacations. I remember my cousins and I, we went to the Greenbrier, which is a very old, old location. And I think I was 5, and we'd have like morning breakfast. Be like, so did anything weird happen in your room? Like, I think like at 5, I'm already like convinced and like ready to be a ghost hunter. And, but so I had that intrigue and that interest, but I didn't necessarily know what I was experiencing was actual gifts or abilities. It just seemed like weird stuff happened, a lot. And then as I got older, I was like, I'd really like to be psychic, but I didn't see things. So I was like, well, I'm not psychic, I'm just strange. That is really my conclusion. And then, I just started reading more and more about it. And then I think, thinking like, well, maybe I have some sort of gift or some sort of ability. And, cause my ability started off as being clairaudient. So I would hear things, but, it wasn't voices talking to me. It was like, I was just eavesdropping on the spirit.
Like you
world
were picking up, it's like a channel, like a TV where you're yeah like, all of a sudden you get a frequency coming in. But yeah, it wasn't like, necessarily to you.
Right. It was a blip of a sentence, like the middle part. Or it would almost sound like when there's a TV or a radio on in another room, but you can't really make out what's being said.
Got it.
It's just that white, kind of slightly louder than white noise. It would be that. Okay. Or I'd think the TV was on upstairs, and I'd go upstairs, and there's nothing on. Like, those are...
So you've been tapping into these other frequencies since you were really young. And would yeah you tell the story about the betta fish as well?
Oh yeah. So when I guess it was about 5 or 6 with my betta fish Sparkle, and my mom had gone into my room and saw Sparkle was dead. So she was like, okay, we're going to have the talk of death and dying. And my mom being an elementary school psychologist and, you know, counselor, she was like, really kind of, I think, the best person to have, be like giving a good discussion on death and dying with a kid. And she's like, Libby, I'm sorry, Sparkle passed away. And I looked and I said, oh no, she's just sleeping. And no, it's the deep sleep, Lib. Like, she's in heaven now. I'm like, no, she's not. Yeah, she is, Lib. And I went, no, look. And I put my hand on the tank, and Sparkle just all of a sudden started swimming again. And I can only imagine my mother was like, well, shit, that was not what I was expecting.
Yeah,
like,
how every death talk is yeah, going to go. Like, you're well, like, what's... nope. And then everything just pet cemetery
pet
style.
Pet cemetery, yeah. But what was funny too, though, is like later on when our other cat had passed away, this was prior to Weasel, we had this other Siamese cat who was kind of crabby. And it was Thanksgiving, and my mom's sitting at the table, and then the cat just went and laid down in the middle of the floor and died. And my mom was upset, and I just went over. It was like a little clinician, like looked at her, like got down close to the floor, looked at her closer, then stood up and looked at my mom and went, yep, she's dead. That just very matter of fact.
You were just so tuned in to not just spirits, obviously, but animals and their well-being. And we'll talk a little bit about the session that just happened. Yeah. And I obviously had the option of, I was like, okay, so should I record the whole session or should we do a recap? And a recap just felt right, because sometimes like in a session, it can get really personal and you just never know what's going to come out. So it felt better, but I was amazed. I met you through Allison Charles. I knew this was going to happen. You can hear Jada's little toes. I can't. Of course. She's like, oh, you're about to talk about me?
Oh, you're going to talk about the work.
Do you want to go sit with Libby? Okay.
Can you come up here?
There she goes. Jada, don't do this to me. She comes running up because she knows we're about to talk about her. No, honey. Okay. So, and up here we have, it's not like real, real hardwood, but it's like that woodish floor thing. And Jada has long nails. So like, of course, it sounds like she's tap dancing everywhere she goes. Okay. So the start of the session. Okay. No, I know what I'm saying. I met you through Allison Charles, who's been on here a bunch, and she's fucking fantastic. Yeah. So I knew when she put us in contact that you were going to be the real deal.
Oh, thank you.
You know, because she just has like that kind of radar. But you know, so we were hanging first, and I was like, oh, she's just cool as a person. Not only just thank these you. Abilities, but you're cool as a person. But then I was really like, even the start of the process. Am I allowed to like talk about?
Yeah, go for it. Okay, it's your session, so do your thing.
So Libby first taps into my energy, and I don't know how much of it you want to. Of your process you want to share, but you can, yeah.
Yeah, so this part, like, for me, that's always the part I get a little bit more nervous about, because I'll tell my client that I'm going to connect with your energy. It really allows for a stronger baseline, so when I bring the animal in, I'm able to then, the messages and the information the animal's giving connects on a deeper level to what they're working with you on a soul level. So by connecting with you first, then I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense why she's connecting about boundaries, or why she's connecting about working with this.
My boundaries are perfect. No, yeah. I'm joking. There was a lot of boundary issues came up.
So when I start to read someone's energy, I get a little nervous because I don't want to, you know, bring up something that maybe,
yeah,
you know, some people may feel like, a little more guarded, or like, what are you talking about? Or that's not what I signed up for. I just want you to talk to Fifi. I don't want you to deal with me like away. Like, so, yeah. That's where I get a little nervous, but it really is what takes the animal communication, to a whole deeper level.
So cool. And I mean, so Libby, when she first connected to my energy and brought me in, I mean, you could describe it, but it was so funny because the animal part hadn't even started and I was already like blown away, because like she brings me into this room, and once again, you can explain it, but I was like, whoa, like, it, yeah.
Okay. you could go so, into it. When I connect with somebody's energy, I use the imagery of my white room, which is my sacred space in my mind's eye. And it's basically, there aren't any set walls, so it allows for the space to expand and contract as needed. The only thing that's there are these, at the one end opposite me, are some French doors, and that's where the person, as well as later the animal, will come through. And so when I connect with Kate, she's just like, some people will come in like tiptoe in. Sometimes it's just, they like come in like, you know, like I'm here, but Kate came in with like, what's up, party people, and like there's rainbows and a fog machine and smoke and like this whole thing of like, I literally, what was said was that Prince can't handle hold a candle to making an entrance to the way Kate does. Is like,
it just like, I mean, it was so funny, you know, because it's like, you're like, okay, can I connect with you? Do I have permission? I'm like, yes. And you did it. And you were just like, kind of like did a giggle. I'm like, what's happening? And you like described it with the rainbows and this like outfit. And I was like, okay, yeah, that's me. Like, I was like,
yeah.
But that already, like the stuff, you know, like Prince doesn't, and first of all, I love Prince, you know, but like when you said that, I was just already like dying. And then, yeah, and then you brought in Jada, and I'll once again, I want you to be the one kind of describing the messages and what the process, but then that was a whole other amazing experience.
Because Jada, a lot of times when I work with people, it'll be over the phone, so I don't always have the animal there with me. So it is intriguing to see how an animal is responding, because they very much know, like I'll usually hear my client on the other end saying like, oh, yep, my dog or my cat is now like right here sitting next to me, or they're doing this like as you're describing it. And so it's fun to see how the animal is like in person as I'm doing it. And I always like to preface that when I invite the animal into the white room, they don't always come in looking the way that they do in person. Sometimes cats come in looking like tigers, or big dogs will come in looking little, and it's however they want their energy to manifest. But Jada appeared just as she did in person, and she's just showing me like the way she was sitting apparently is exactly the way she sits for you. There's a regality to her, but she's a goofball as well.
Yeah.
But she just would be, it was kind of going back and forth between like in real time, like, because I hear animals and it's just, I have one level of conversing with them. And then there's the soul level stuff where that's more of really tuning in, closing my eyes and like getting the information that way. So it was fun to go back and forth here in this session to hear her wisecracks. And
she's a very sassy dog. Yes. I mean, once again, I knew that, but when it comes through from like the other side in that kind of a way, I like, do you remember any of the specific messages? I hate to put you on the spot since like it's hard to sometimes remember the exact.
Yeah. Cause I usually, it's just like a
I'm sorry. I should have totally taken notes when we were doing it. That's right. My bad.
I mean, I do know. I very clearly remember when you asked me about what her thoughts on twin flames were. And Jada said she thinks that if more people took time to sniff one another out, we'd all be finding our twin flames a whole lot easier and much quicker.
And so, to me, that's like the funniest, best response ever, because you picture dogs like sniffing each other's butts. And because I never thought of it like that, but it's so true, because so many of us have this immediate desire to connect and fill that void. And I loved her response of just like, if we all just took more time, I think, before engaging in sex and stuff, it would be a lot easier if we slowed down to actually know who we really come alive with. And yeah, but most people, and I get it, it's not judging, but most people really.
Well, and the way we are now, like, especially like even with our like dating apps now, it's like swipe left, swipe right, swipe, like it's quick.
Yes.
Quick make decisions before even processing what was the person's name that I just swiped on? Like,
yeah.
Who was that? So it makes total sense for the animals to be like, just chill out, like feel into it. Does this, I'm trying to take like even on when I agree to do things on what dates and times, rather than just going like, oh yeah, that's fine, but actually like feel into it and be like,
yes,
actually that really doesn't feel like, I don't know if something's going to come up, but for some reason I'm feeling like we should do it at this time instead. Like it's all comes down to mindfulness really, I think, and taking that time that you need.
Yes. And you know what I also just love about you in general is like nothing's off limits in the sense of like the weird, the paranormal, because there's so many people even within the spiritual community, it's like no one's ever crazy or odd for believing in a concept that the rest of the masses have yet to, you know, get on board with. And sometimes you don't get on board with certain things, but like every, you know, take like Leonardo da Vinci, Frida Kahlo, even Lady Gaga. Like, yeah. For me, not just artists, but people who are kind of like on the edge of these things, they're often called names. And I think what's so cool is like switching from that to just being more open. It doesn't mean you have to accept. It doesn't mean like, so anyone who doesn't believe in twin flames or pet psychics or aliens or fairies, like you don't have to just shut this off or call someone a name. You can just go, huh, something in my system's reacting to this and sitting with it. It's like the same thing as the Jada sniffing it out. Like you're allowed, even if any of this stuff is weird.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, and that's how, I mean, I've been fortunate with the teachers and mentors I've had of like really reinforcing and like, what do you feel in your body? Like, 'cause your body will respond to one of the first exercises I learned, like from my first meditation group I went to, was your truth cord. And like you can basically, it's the exercise where you tell yourself a truth and then pause and see what you feel in your body. Then tell yourself a lie and then see how your body responds to that. And you can keep doing that back and forth, and then you'll notice it. And then when you go out, you basically are training yourself to be aware that you are a walking lie detector. That energy yes. does not lie. It's the greatest thing. People, you can put on a facade, you can put on a pretty picture, anything like that, but if the energy makes you feel then don't go with it. And it's fine if it resonates with something. Like I always say, like, if something I say resonates with you, awesome. If it doesn't, then you don't have to take it.
I mean, huge amen on that, because, and we're seeing this in all these like celebrity feuds and like obviously politics.
Yeah.
Where we are already. But like, you know, I don't know if you heard about like the Lana Del Rey, Azalea Banks
feud
that's kind of going on. And Azalea Banks is, you know who she is? She's like a rapper. And
yeah, yeah.
She kind of starts with a lot of people. Here Jada is again. She's like, what? Who's starting with who? But like, now I totally forget where I was going.
Azalea Banks.
But I forget like what was like.
Oh, taking things that agree with you and then leaving
the rest. Thank you. Yeah. So like, I feel like when someone disagrees with someone or they're offended, you don't have to like engage. Like if you don't agree, you can go, huh, okay, that's not for me, and like keep it moving. And I'm not saying I'm a pro at this always. Jada, yeah. You're really going to have to stop tap dancing around the room because, okay. So like, I feel like she came to be like
giggling into the mic.
But I feel like we can all, you can disagree with someone and not have to like start shit with them.
Yeah. And that is something I've come across a lot, like in my work of like, because there is, when you start, so originally I was a theater major. I did special effects makeup. And then like it shifted into mediumship, really. Like I was burnt out from doing the makeup artistry and combining that with like doing like retail work too with makeup. And I was just like, I'm done with that. And then my grandma passed away, and that was really where my spirit door just flew open. And I just dove headfirst into it because I was really in love with it. But then when you go into like, so what do you do now? Because that does seem, especially like living in Los Angeles, like that's one of the first things people always ask you, where are you from and what do you do? And so now like, and my family members even just being like, so what do you do? And I'm like, oh, well, I'm a medium. Oh, okay. You're a psychic. And then that just like evolved into,
I'm seeing a sparkly presence, by the way, right around. I don't know what it is, but awesome. As you were saying that, it's like sparkles were happening right over there. I was like, okay.
Awesome. Thank you. Whoever's here. that evolved into shamanism. And cause I had no idea what that was. And I just, the woman that ended up being my mentor had been, was a shaman, and she was talking about things that I was like, I knew in my gut I could do. And I was like, where did you learn this? Where did you learn these exercises? She kept talking about shaman school. So I was like, all right, well, I got to get my ass to shaman school. And then that evolved into like, I was really fascinated with spirit animals and paying attention to what birds were coming around. And so I was like, I honestly really do enjoy animals more than people for the most part. And I was like, I feel like I'm really missing something here. And then as luck would have it, I had this course book came from where I had been for shaman school at Omega in Rhinebeck, New York. And there was a weekend seminar on animal communication. I was like, done, I'm there. And so it's been evolving, but my family nonetheless is like, what? Like, that's weird. And and some either are atheists, so they don't, they're kind of snarky. So then there's a lot of questioning of that. And then I have others where I've just recently connected with parts of my mom's biological family, and they're Catholic. And so talking to the dead, like, this is all, like, really not, like, it's scary because they don't know what it is. So then it becomes this debate. And I've always been one like, you do you, let me be me. Like, we don't need to debate on stuff. Like, as long as we're not harming one another. Like, whatever makes life easier, it makes you happy, it makes your soul sing, then do that.
Amen. Once again, and I'm not, once again, I always try to say, like, I'm not saying I'm perfect at this.
Oh, well, none of us are.
but this is what we need to see more of in, once again, politics, friendships, romance, all of it. Like, it's okay to disagree. But we almost want to, like, force each other. It's like, wait, you don't agree with me? Well, that makes me too uncomfortable because now I have to start questioning my belief. So, like, I have to now convince you to think the same way. And it's like, it's okay to, like, let yourself exist, let the other person exist with what they have, and then a third thing really does truly arise, which they teach in my school, which is like a whole other place that's holding, you know, opposites.
Yeah.
And I think when we can kind of get there and just sit with ourselves, and plus we don't have to come to conclusions like right away, even with the Dr. Ford Kavanaugh thing, which I obviously immediately believed her, which would trigger some people.
Yeah.
But you can sit with these uncomfortable places and see what arises, even if it takes months or however long. So if you don't know how you feel about being a not you, but like shamanism, pet psychic stuff, or communication with spirit realms, like anyone listening, like, you can just sit with it. Like, you don't have to, you know, land somewhere right now.
Yeah. I mean, everybody is going at their own pace, and it's the correct pace that is right for their soul. So, like, for me, I was like, woohoo, I always wanted abilities. I always wanted, like, I really actually had this fantasy that I would go to see Sylvia Brown. We were talking right before we started recording about Sylvia Brown, and I did get to see her, and I had this when she was alive. I saw her in LA, and I was like, maybe she'll end up doing a reading on me, and she's gonna tell me that I have abilities. Like, that's what I had in my mind. It didn't happen. But years later, I went to another psychic medium who, she had a show on LMN called The Haunting Of. Her name's Kim Russo. She's in Long Island. And I saw the way she would do, like, give readings for people. And I was like, that's how I get my info. Even on TV when they would do reenactments, it was the way I would see things in my mind's eye. And I was like, this is the closest I've ever seen of anybody receiving info the way I do. And so I went to, as luck would have it, she was going to be nearby. And so my parents and I went and saw her. And I remember I was picking up information right before she'd say it, when she'd give a reading to somebody. Like, there was somebody whose loved one did something with baseball, and I saw a mitt, and she said something about a bat. Like, it was,
wow.
We were in sync. And, but for me, the big part was I looked at her, and in my head, I had said, I'm not going to get a reading today, am I? And she was like, I really wish I could give everybody a reading today. And I was like, oh shit, she can hear me. And, so I never told her this part, because we've run into one another several times since then. And when I was like screaming her name at times, I'm like, does this really work? Is this telepathy? What? Like, I was like a golden retriever in terms of like energy. I was just super excited all the time, anything spirit related. And I remember she was like, oh, I'm really sorry, I'm having a hard time connecting with your loved one, to whoever she was giving a reading to. And later I ended up being able to ask her what to do and where to go. But she came up to my mom and I, and she went, wow, you've got abilities. And so it was the goal. It was the dream I'd had, but it was a different person. And actually, she ended up being the stand-in for an event where Sylvia Brown was supposed to read, and she passed away suddenly. And so Kim ended up being the stand-in, the replacement. So it was really uncanny. But so that was the way it, so after that point, then I felt like I, like, okay, I've got validation, like somebody else said it, like,
yeah,
because I wanted it so bad that I thought I was maybe making it up. But a lot of people I know are scared of it. A lot of people,
they're terrified to open up the gifts because of that like superstitious thing that's still in the collective around religion and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah. And I mean, for me, I I was still hesitant to fully open up until my grandma passed, because to me it was like, I don't know who's on the other side. Like, I was taught as a kid, don't talk to strangers. So I was applying that to the spirit world. Like, how am I going to know?
How do you know what's coming through?
Yeah. And so when my grandma passed, I was like, well, I'm going to know who it is. And I recognize her. And all it took was me saying, you know, Nanny, this week, because I was staying in her house after she'd passed and we were taking care of her estate. And I was communicating with her, and she was basically telling me who she wanted different things to go to.
Wow.
And I heard her voice, like, very clear, and was able to deliver messages for my mom. And it was really cathartic for me just in the whole process. And I thought, this is beautiful. I would love to help other people this way. So I asked her and said, would you continue to work with me so I can develop this and help other people? And that was it. That's what blew my closet door right off the hinges. And she, of course, my grandmother, true to who she was in life, was like, okay, here, we're gonna do this, and you need to contact this. And like,
wow. So it came through very, very strong.
Yeah,
she just spoke to you.
Yep.
Well, Jada, by the way, obviously came in and is on my lap. I'll bring in a couple of things that came through in the session. Yeah. I'm not going to remember all of it, but you saw her as like a Cleopatra dog.
Yep, completely. That's
the regal yet goofy thing. But then one of the images you saw was her pacing back and forth near a door. And it's hilarious because, and this is where the boundaries things comes in, is if it were up to Jada, she'd be glued to my body at all times.
Yeah, that's right. She, when she was pacing, she was like, would you just open the damn door? Like, that's what I heard.
Because sometimes I need alone time on my bed without Jada on it. And I know it hurts her feelings when I close the door, but like, sometimes I just need that space. And that's where the boundaries came in. Cause you were saying, like, animals and, you know, this whole holographic nature of reality, but they're mirrors to show us lessons about ourselves. And I definitely have boundaries issues on both sides. You know, some, I have trouble, yeah, on both sides, where it's like, sometimes I invade someone's space, and I often find, I have trouble saying no. And here I was with Jade, in a sense, closing that door and feeling really guilty about not being able to be there for her all the time. But I just didn't, you know, I need a recharge, and I can't always be giving her all the pets in the world. So yeah, the boundaries issue came in strong, which has been an issue in my life since I was young.
I think a lot of us who are sensitive and have abilities, we do have that with boundaries, because we feel, at least speaking for myself, feel what the other person is feeling. So when we try to assert those boundaries, we're then feeling uncomfortable. And as children, it's, oh, I'm uncomfortable, but really we're feeling the other person's discomfort, but we take that on as our own. And so then we want to avoid that. And so that just kind of starts to erode the boundary, you know, and that's where that sort of comes in. And I can totally relate to that with what you're describing about with Jada, because I feel that way with my dogs. And like, I've one or two that will come into bed, and they're 3 pounds. And one of them, she's so small, she squeaks through any gates. Like, she's able, like, a little mouse can, like, pop through. Wow. So there's no keeping Maybelline out of where she wants to be. But the other dogs, I'll be like, nah, you know, I, like, last night, none of the dogs except for Maybelline and Honey were allowed upstairs. And they'll bark, and, like, my one little boy dog will just do, like, the saddest little whimper and, like, even, like,
trem- it pulls at your heart and your soul. And you're like, I'm disappointing these sweet, innocent creatures.
I mean, they definitely look like they could be cast to be in the next ASPCA, like, Humane Society ad. Like, my little dog Rupert, like, he's, like, gets his little lip, like, lower lip just trembling. And, like, stop. Just stop. You guys all have beds down here. You're all perfectly, like, Mama needs her sleep.
Well, that's the thing. Like I give Jada a ton of love and energy, and I feed her well. And like, and yet when I close that door, my, like, there's a part of me that's like, oh, you're being an asshole for not giving her even more in this moment. And like, I mean, yeah, I mean, everyone I'm sure is working on boundary issues, but yes, those of us who are very, very sensitive, whether you're empathic, psychically gifted, all of it, none of it. Like, if you're just sensitive and you can feel someone else's pain, you often take it on and you're like, well, I don't want to disappoint this other person. And I think true self-love and even spirituality, it's like learning how to say no to others so you can really take care of yourself. And sometimes you just need to be alone and by yourself. And
yeah,
and even completely. If it's for a couple hours, like, I'm like, Jada, I love you. But look, she's looking at me as I
nice, she like, is.
Yeah. But yeah, sometimes I just need to be alone for like human time. And I don't say that, that's that almost had a weird connotation, but like literally just human time. Yeah. Nothing.
No, I silly. That I mean it.
Although if I am masturbating, like I don't need.
Yeah, it's weird.
Any animal in the room.
Well, and honestly, my dog Rupert one time like came in the room and sat down at the end of the bed and was I'm like, you need to go. Like this is weird. Like, and I was like, hold that thought and.
It's very room. Hard to be fully in that moment when you've got like animals around you, just you know,
staring at you.
Yeah. But at the same time, you're like, okay, guys, like time to get out.
Yeah. Versus like my dog Maybelline has her reindeer. And anybody that meets Maybelline usually has either seen her and reindeer or has heard of her and reindeer. But like the best example being, so my friend Donna had a jewelry store and we went to visit. And I had Maybelline, and she had never met Maybelline before. And Maybelline is 3 pounds, a little white chihuahua. And she has this red reindeer that's the exact same size as her. It looks like two chihuahuas in my bag. And it's like, oh, this is Maybelline, and this is reindeer. And she's like, oh, hi, Maybelline. Oh, that's reindeer? What do you do with reindeer? And Maybelline hopped out of her bag, and then she very carefully pulled reindeer out and sat it down in front of Donna. And then she looked at Donna. And then she went over to Reindeer, mounted him.
No.
Looked up at Donna and then began humping
oh.
Reindeer vigorously. And then Donna's jaw just about hit the floor. And then Maybelline jumped off and sat down next to Reindeer and proudly looked up at her and was like, that's what I do with my reindeer.
Oh.
And I said, you asked. Show and tell.
Well, that's what you were saying, too, is like, animals are here. There are these guides to help us show us, or gurus is the word you use, to show us, in a sense, how to live. And I think even when it comes to like sex and humping and all of it, they're like, and once again, sniffing people out. I take sex seriously and all of that. But I think there's still kind of like, there's less shame around, you know, even shitting in the animal kingdom. We talked a lot about shitting, actually.
Yeah. Same dog likes to, like, use, like, she will, if she gets irritated with you, she will poop in your shoe or your slipper.
Animals know what's up.
Yeah. Yep. They, she's totally unapologetic about it. And, like, she does not apologize about humping that reindeer. And somebody else, I think, on Instagram had, like, post a video about like their dog like humping something and they're like, is this normal? And people were giving all their like and I just went right into what is the animal teaching us. I'm like, do you realize that there's like 1,000 people had responded to this post? And I was like, it's gotten 1,000 people to watch it and have its like kind of tune in, but it's really like loosen up and like, you know, like you do you. Like you
yes.
Just fulfill your needs and
find out what makes you tick.
Yeah,
and even if it's humping a reindeer.
Yeah, and there's no shame in it. Like I feel like, especially more like as women, we're kind of like our needs and like in exploring our needs are often like no, like boys will be boys, boys do that, blah blah blah. But like there isn't any talk about girls taking care of their needs and exploring.
Well, there's
their
plenty of that
and,
around here. Like, talking at least about yeah. it. Yeah.
And honestly, like my female dogs are the ones like that are just like, oh yeah, I got some needs. I'm gonna go take care of this right now.
Yeah, and once again, not being ashamed of whatever your needs are, as long as you're really keeping it in a sacred space and like,
yeah,
yeah, do you, boo? The other thing that kind of that did come through was Jada. She doesn't do it often, but she has snapped at a couple toddlers. And when we brought that in as one of the questions, is like, what's going on there? I loved your response.
Oh, yeah. So so sometimes I will get comparisons of some of the animals in my pack, and I've learned that that means it's corresponding with the message of the animal I'm reading. And so one of my dogs will, when he sees two dogs or, you know, a squabble going on, he will break it up. And I more recently learned, thanks to Animal Planet, that dogs inherently will want to stop chaotic energy. Anything that within a pack that's it seems out of control, they will nip it in the bud. And so with Jada, like, kids nowadays, like every generation that's coming in, are more and more open. So just as those of us that are exploring our abilities now as adults and getting more in touch with ourselves, like, and going like awakening processes can be really overwhelming. So if you imagine what it's like then when you are a toddler, you're balancing both like processing different energies, being super sensitive to all that, this energetic shift that's going on, and also trying to learn how to speak like at the same time. That's a lot. And so the energy can be rather chaotic around that too. At least that's what I was picking up around the ones that like Jada has encountered. And so when she's snapped, because you mentioned your son Shane is there, and he's very sensitive and very gifted with his abilities, she's like saying like, I don't like this energy for your energy. And so she wanted to
protect
that. And so, as I said to Shane, like, if you just imagine your energy expanding so that that chaotic energy isn't overtaking your own.
I also, at this point, I don't let her near toddlers. What I mean?
Oh yeah. I mean,
after a couple times, you're like, all right, honey, look, she just like looked at you, you know, you're in timeout. And but what you're saying rings completely true, where it's like, she's sensing energy in a whole other level. And when she feels that chaos or whatever, because toddlers, it's what you're saying, there's so much frenetic stuff coming out of them. She doesn't know what's going on. She wants to protect. She wants to stop that energy that's less predictable. Look, she just looks at me. I get it honey.
And I think it kind of speaks to, like, even on a deeper level, like when we were talking back to like mirroring, for all of us, like a lot of times, like, we do become fearful of that which we can't predict or that which we don't understand. Like, I learned that I've never had been afraid of birds, but it wasn't until like I was in college and somebody had a bird in their dorm room and they had it flying around, I realized like the sound reminded me of a bug. And then I realized, like, I've never been around birds really up close, and I couldn't predict the behavior. So I found myself feeling antsy, which my conscious mind was like, well, that's weird, because I'm not afraid of them. But it's the unpredictability, like not knowing what the movement is. And so then on a more generalized note, I would say then that, like, Jada's mirroring what a lot of us do, which, I don't know what this is. This seems unpredictable. I can't control this. I don't want it.
Yeah. And then the snap happens, which isn't okay, miss. But I get it. I would love... Okay, so you brought in birds, and I've actually been talking to and singing a lot to the birds in the neighborhood. Like, when I take her for a walk, especially after seeing A Star Is Born. Have you seen it yet?
I have not.
You have to see it. The ending fucked me up. Not trying to give anything away, but goddamn, I had to wear sunglasses for the rest of the day. Like, I couldn't stop crying. But
note to self, wear waterproof mascara.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Crazy good movie. The chemistry, obviously, I already talked about it last week, between Gaga and Cooper is insane and electrifying. Yeah. But it definitely, because you're watching her claiming her gift, and I shut down my singing voice years and years and years ago, because I got self-conscious and people teased me. So I'm trying to open it back up, and I'm, you know, the birds love it. They don't judge.
Yeah.
So I would love to know, I don't know if you can do this on the spot, you can totally, but if you could connect even to the birds in the neighborhood, if that's possible in this space, and I would love to hear what they are feeling about the sing. I've been singing a lot to them.
Let's see. So I can connect with like the collective.
Sure. Yes.
The bird collective. So the first thing that comes in is I see, this makes sense. So I see a goldfinch, and he's sort of fluffing his feathers, like to like, and goldfinch, the reason I said like this makes sense is they're often seen as a symbol of for the fairy realm. So that would make a lot of sense for why they would be coming. That would be of all the birds, like, to come through. Plus, it's a really bright colored bird. Like, you didn't just get a sparrow, not to put down sparrows, but I mean, you know.
We love you, sparrow.
it, the goldfinch.
So they're hearing me, and it,
then, yeah. Okay. And, they like the fact, like, so that, like, puffing up of the chest and kind of, like, fluffing the feathers for me is an indicator of, like, you know, you're fluffing yourself up. You're getting, you know, you're building yourself up again, which that was something that had come through in the reading with your, triceps, like building up those, muscles, those that really play a lot in picking yourself up. And, the part that, I said in the reading, like when we look at, like the flexed arm, a lot of times we look at the bicep, not so much the tricep, the underarm. So that to me metaphorically speaks to that which isn't seen. Again, that would also connect then with the goldfinch. So you singing to them, they are very appreciative, and like it's more proud of the fact that you are tuning back into that part of yourself. Because I have never met a bird that whispers or is unashamed of their singing. Like, and never, and you know crows are freaking loud. And
love crows.
Never heard one go like, oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah.
And for me, like, I love singing in, I sing in the car a lot. And I have like my own one gal car karaoke. And
love that.
But it really clears out and strengthens and balances my throat chakra.
Yes.
Which is the one, is the chakra that I find I have to work on more than the others. And so singing is a great, fun way to do that. And
it really, I loved what you were saying, all of it. It made me emotional too, of the whole, like, birds don't whisper, like they're not ashamed of their song. And so many of us are so scared to, whether it's actual sing it or just be who we are. And as outgoing and kicking the door down as I am, you know, when it comes to many aspects of myself, including the singing part, I'm terrified. Like, I'll be singing to the birds in the neighborhood, and all of a sudden I'll hear like someone in the house nearby moving, and I'm like, oh my God, they were listening. Because when I sing, it's very Mary Poppins, Cinderella, you know, like, yeah. It's very those like musicals, because I'm just singing what's like, it's channeling. And normally it's a very hopeful message, actually.
Yeah.
But it's not something I'm comfortable with, like, everyone hearing. So when I'm like, oh shit, someone like her, do they think I'm crazy? Like, all those things go through, and like, I can't wait till we're in a society where we're all breaking out into song and dance, right? All yeah. the time.
I often think, like, in my head, I'm like, oh, I wish there was music here. Like, I feel like there should be an option to just like have a soundtrack going on. Like, I have yeah. plenty of like playlists and stuff that I have on my phone and everything. But I guess, because I mentioned to you that I get music is used a lot for me as a way to get messages. And so I'm sure as I continue to evolve and work on my abilities and develop, I'm sure I'll be having more and more music playing in my head. Because sometimes actually that does happen where I can't turn it off. And then that's when it's like, okay, what?
Yeah.
Like, what is it that you want? Like, what message am I not getting? I need a little more clarity. Because I don't think anybody ever wants to have a radio they can't turn off. But
yeah, music is huge in bringing in messages from spirit. And like, even if you don't want to hear, like, it's funny, like, what song will come in a moment and you're like, okay, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, there was a song by the band Perry. I can't remember the title, but it's about like my mother or whatever. And after my mom passed, I was like, nope, like I love their CD, but I was like, nope, not ready to listen to that. Nope, not ready to listen to that. I kept just like switch it. And then one day I woke up and it was playing in my head. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, I have intentionally not listened to this song, so I don't have the lyrics in my head. But it was Spirit being like, nope, you got to listen to that. And it's like, oh, okay. But it ripped the Band-Aid off for me. And I mean, I'll still get a little emotional when I listen to it, but it was no more avoiding, because that's energy that can certainly be used in a much more productive manner than hiding. So...
yeah. Yeah. It's so hard when things come up that we didn't necessarily want to face. Like, I've been getting triggered a decent amount. And I guess it was, yesterday, I was deeply, deeply triggered. And I was like, okay, here we are in this space. What can I do? And I think sometimes I would isolate. Mm-hmm. And try to deal with it on my own. And I just suddenly, and a beautiful move, I was like, you don't have to isolate. Like, you can call some certain people and share the pain. Not to put it on them, but it's like you have, I'm very grateful to have certain friends that are also deeply steeped in healing work and just beautiful souls. And I was like, you don't have to do this alone. Like, that's such a young place, right? Where your parents do something or say something and you're like, oh my God, I'm alone. I'm trapped. And I was like, you're not alone and you're not trapped. So like, reach out to who you need to reach out to survive this. And you know, when it comes to music too, I think when you're often feeling isolated or alone, there are certain songs that can just lift your spirit, even if it's your sad and listening to a sad song. It's like, no, there are other humans that are in this frequency with you. Yeah. You're not the only sad one at this moment. And also, like, the spiritual realm is often in like that song like vibration.
Oh,
it
yeah.
moves differently.
For sure. It's funny. Yeah, like I definitely can relate completely with having that tendency to isolate, because part of me is like, well, I'm a shaman. Like, this is something like my feet are being put to the fire. Like, I've got to like face this. And, but then it's also like, you don't have to do it alone. Like, so it's, but I also like being an only child, and like, I now have cousins that are, I have cousins that are 10 years older than me. And then I have cousins that are 10 years, 15 years younger than me. So I'm like my solo member of the family of my age group. And so like, I'm very comfortable in doing stuff on my own. And also very comfortable being like the caretaker, but you have, like, I've learned to have to then balance that with going into rescue mode. And then also not just going into this isolation when stuff starts to hit the fan. Like, because usually I'm like, I don't like what's going on. I don't want to share this. Like, so then it just...
Especially when it's like the really, really raw.
Yeah, because then you just feel like, at least I do, like, I feel like I actually had this conversation with Allison of like being like, I'm supposed to be a healer. How is it that I feel like I'm a mess and like clearly I haven't learned anything? And like... that's not...
Yeah, you question your abilities as a healer, as just a functioning human, which is so, like, once again, how this collective needs to heal into, like, you're allowed to be messy, you're allowed to be emotional. And the people who are going to judge you over having a rough day, week, month, year, whatever, they're not your people. Because
it's, and
I'm a big fan of the Twin Flames, Pete Davidson and Ariana Grande is actually how you pronounce it. I heard her in an interview correct it. So I'm like, should I have been pronouncing her name wrong? But what I love even about that relationship is Pete's always been very outspoken about the fact that, and I don't even want to call it a mental issue, because I don't actually, I think he just has those ups and downs that a lot of us very sensitive artists have. And I love that somehow their relationship is bringing more light to the fact of like, humans are allowed to have dips and manic episodes. Or, I mean, obviously healing work helps to smooth them out. But like, it's okay to have those moments. Reach out to someone, a friend or whoever.
I mean, I remember as a kid going home and telling my mom, like, we had a substitute teacher and it was in elementary school, and I was like tapping my foot during story time, and the sub was like, "Oh, Libby, would you please stop doing that?" And I remember being like, "Ew." Why don't you just yell like that? You're smiling and telling and scolding, like, this is weird. And I remember going home telling my mom, like, I didn't like this lady because she didn't seem to, she just seemed smiley all the time. And there I am at, like, you know, 6, 7 and being like, there didn't seem to be a range of emotion. And so when I reflect back on that, that, I mean, that really kind of says it right there. Like, it's okay. It's normal. Like, if we had a whole planet of Susie Sunshines running around, like, I think we would all, I mean, I don't know. I would just,
it's not real.
No, I would just be like, ugh. Like, just,
I mean, you're bringing up a topic that I clear, you know what I mean? Because for me, and one of the surprises of the spiritual journey is claiming your inner bitch, like claiming the right to be cranky, not fucking having it. And how much guilt comes up when you once again set those boundaries. And like, how do I say this? When we are only looking at external, and you kind of brought this up earlier, but like, when you're trying to only measure something from the looks of something, you're only getting like a tenth, if that, of the picture. Everything's energy. So like, even if a family looks like they're perfect, or a teacher's like always talking in a sing-song voice, or like whatever the situation is, like, external is only external. Like, there are so many other levels and universes to feel into. And if something feels off, and this is like an Abraham Hicks quote, but if something feels off, it is.
Yeah.
And I'm sick of, like, you know, it's like calling out the elephant in the room. Like, I'm sick of being in a society where you're like, no, that's off. There's something wrong here. Whether you're in a classroom and you're feeling trapped because the teacher's abusing their authority, or a relationship. I mean, there are endless things where people, even just in your own home, where you're like, oh, okay, this might just be me being crazy. Like, starting to trust more yourself. You don't have to scream it. And I'm working on this. Like, I'm working on, because sometimes I pick up on things that someone might not be ready to hear. Like, that's the boundary issue. It's like, okay, well, if they're not ready to hear that, like, I don't have to shout that at someone. It's not received well. But like, it's more about going within and trusting yourself. Like, okay, that feels off. Well, then it probably is. But I don't have to, once again, karma doesn't pay you to do her work. Like, I don't have to be the one to like make everyone alerted to that. Instead, like, just kind of preaching what we're talking about of like healing work, going within, allowing yourself to feel and be who you are, and trusting that as you just do that inner work, the external is going to shift and bring you more blessings than you can imagine.
Yeah. And I have this conversation like with my guides at times where I'm in that place of like, I'm a mess. Like, what is, like, how can I possibly be of service to anybody else if I don't have my shit together? Like, I clearly have more, because I think, at least speaking for myself, having that fear of like, when are you ready to be a leader and be a teacher versus continually just taking classes, like always trying to just learn, well, and not doing anything with that knowledge you've gained. And so in having this these conversations after, like, you know, my feet have been put to the fire and stuff has hit the fan, and I'm talking to my guides and they're like, that's the human experience. Like, if you weren't, then you would be a guide, or you wouldn't be here on earth. Yeah. Like, and my grandma, the one who kicked my closet door off its hinges, she once said in spirit, she said, there are a lot of idiots on Easy Street. And I'm like, well, that's our work. We learn in those moments. And that's where our greatest, like, are the pieces of wisdom come out of, when we think we are a mess, but that's actually just where we're all learning.
Messes.
Yeah.
Used to it.
That's the human experience. Like, that is the human aspect. Like,
the lotus flower growing through the muck time and time again, hopefully more and more gracefully. That's what I'm working on.
Yeah.
But gracefully, to me, it doesn't mean like today. Remember the toe thing even came in of dipping the toe in slowly. And I was like, I just stubbed my toe today. And I was thinking about the lesson in it. But like,
well, even Jada did that. Like, she was sitting in her like regal queen, like Egyptian, like dog pose. And then she went to move her head and like face planted on the armchair. But then like looked up like, I've still got it. Yes. I'm still a queen.
Yes, exactly. Being goofy or making mistakes doesn't mean you're not a king or a queen.
Yeah. Like she said, actually, yeah, that was one of the things she said, that nothing needs to shake her crown.
Yes.
Like we're all going to trip. We're all going to fall.
We all take shits.
Yeah. Yep.
We all poop. We all pee.
Yeah.
Like it's all, oh, look at her looking at me. It's all good. But well, thank you for coming on. I know it like went by really quickly.
Can, oh my god, believe? I know. I was like, well, on that note, we all pee and we all poop and anyway, goodbye.
How can I end on the most graceful, classy thing? Guys, we all take shits. Well, what's funny is you were talking to me and Shane before even the psychic session started about your shaman school.
Yeah.
And how like you can get messages.
Oh yeah, through
you don't have to, you can start with where you started and then
so we learned about reading the signs of destiny and learning how to, Shane was talking about learning, getting answers from the lightning. And I then shared the class I took about how we learned to, scry like tea leaves, rocks. And one of my classmates was like, yeah, well, you know, every morning after I have my BM, I look in the toilet and I can tell how my day is going to go. I just read the signs of destiny from my poop.
One of the funniest things I've ever heard, because you really can like read into basically anything to get the symbolism and the signs. And I just love the idea of someone looking at their poop and being like, huh, okay, that's how it's going to be. All right.
I'm going to just avoid the freeway today.
Do you think if you have a random green poop? What do you think that means? Good luck?
Yeah.
We're going to real spin it positive.
That you're doing a good job on eating your veggies.
2 weeks ago, I had a random green poop, and I was worried at first. And then I said, you know what? I feel healthy. That's good luck. That's a leprechaun shit.
That's what was popping in my head with a leprechaun.
There we go. Yeah. Thank you, leprechaun realm, for coming through along with the fairy realm. I'll let you know if I get a sparkle poop with fairies, please, lifting it.
Please do. I feel like that would be like the unicorn poop.
Yeah. Well, thank you for coming on. Where can people find you? And I love that you can do things over the phone or the internet.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can find me. I'm on Facebook / Intuitive Libby. Instagram is where I'm most active. So my handle there, as well as Twitter, is Intuitive Libby. And my website is intuitivelibby.com. And yeah, you can find me on any of those, and you can schedule things through my website. And, I'm branching out into being able to do some, like, some things on, Instagram Messenger now and
hell yeah,
too. So, yeah, but
please reach out to her. if you have a pet and you want to have your first pet psychic session, she's incredible. Or she is a shaman and a medium, so and intuitive. So, yeah. And what was cool about today is, yes, she connected to Jada, but she also connected to my energy and messages came through there to Shane. Shane had a whole separate thing where you really felt into his soul song and you saw him. He entered the room wearing a hat and he's like, wait. And he went into his room and came out with pretty much the exact hat you saw, but a different color.
Still bright color. Yeah.
So,
yeah,
she's amazing.
And the animals, again, can be alive or in spirit. So yeah, there's pretty much no limitations
to what you're able to do. Yep. So yeah, check her out, reach out to her. And what's your email?
It's info@intuitivelibby, and that's LIBBY .com.
Yes. So please reach out to her, get some info. It was amazing. And with me, you can follow me on Instagram, Twitter at the Kate Wolf, 2 F's. If you want a non-dual Kabbalistic healing or tarot reading, email me kwolf27@gmail.com. Check out my album, 1111. Check out Labia Game, my rap video, which is very much in tune with the way I walked in that.
I definitely need to check it out.
Okay. I'll show you Labia Game before we go get some food. But well, I'll show it to you before we hang with Shane again, because he doesn't need that in his life. But thank you so much for coming out here.
Thank you for getting
to meet you. Yeah, you're awesome. So thank you guys so much for tuning in, and bye.
Bye.